I mentioned that we would have a conversation with a World Series champion, and we will do just that. He also was a Cy Young Award winner, an 8-time All-Star, a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame, a 2-time defending champion in the celebrity division of the Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions. The 2021 Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions is January 21st through the 24th. Four Seasons Golf and Sports Club in Orlando. We will get into all that. We are joined right now by John Smoltz. John, it's been a minute or two since you and I have spoken. How are you doing, John? How is life for you right now?
You know what? All things considered, it's great. I'm down here in Orlando just making the rounds before, in a month, I get an opportunity to defend something again, which is really, really the coolest thing in the world. It's like a major for me. I'm not going to lie. This is what I got now. I'm out of competition. This is my last form of competition.
You know, John, I love that topic. I've talked to so many athletes about that. And when you're wired a certain way and you're wired to compete and that's your identity and that's what you've always done, and then all of a sudden when the games stop, you don't have that same exact outlet. So what is the outlet and how important is it for you to get to, quote, defend something?
Yeah, first and foremost, you know, competing. If I'm in a golf group, I want to win the golf group. If there's a scoreboard, I want to see how far up the scoreboard I can go. So if they're going to keep score and there's a competition, I want to be as good as I can be. So these kind of tournaments, when you're rubbing elbows with some of the greatest players in the world, in this case the LPGA, you just can't help but learn about your golf game. It's 4 days, and I don't play in many four-day events. And at 53 years old, I don't know how many more years I'll have to really excel. So I'm trying to make the most of it. And I just get flat out geeked up when it comes to a tournament. I think every day is my day. Like when I play golf, I think every day is the moment I could shoot my best score. I hope that fire never goes out, because when I get in my 60s, I want to start shooting my age from 66 to 95. After that, well, it doesn't matter as much. But that's my simplest goals in life when it comes around golf, and that's the way I've lived.
We're talking to John Smoltz. The thing is, John, it's not just golf, though. It was not just baseball. It's not just golf. And I say this because over the summer, Tim Kirchen wrote this great piece with your teammates and your coaches talking about how competitive you are. As an example, they talk about this legendary game of horse that you played at Chipper's house back in the day when Ned Yost hit a couple of lucky shots from the deck and one from the street. He said, quote, "It would have been the greatest feat of my career," end of quote. But then you came back and you beat him. What do you remember about that day and that game?
I just remember having, my moment of being a teammate or competing against people is always trying to bring out the best in whoever it is. And I want to beat them. And I don't sugarcoat that. And so I always believe until it doesn't happen that I can make the shot, make the pitch, or, you know, get the winning basket. And I love competing. And I guess just the way that my sports career took me, I did it longer than I thought I could. And then golf came around. I played competitive basketball the day I retired till I was 50. And then I realized this is getting a little out of hand. My hips, my body just can't keep this up. So golf has taken all my energy. And I pour whatever I can. If I do something that inhibits golf, I don't do it. So if something's going to hurt me from, you know, being too sore, even though it's fun, I won't do it because I want to play golf.
We're talking to John Smoltz. You know, it's interesting, John, because years ago you told me that what you did on the golf course helped you become a better pitcher, maybe even elongated your career. It's something that I've referenced in numerous other conversations with other athletes over the years. For those who don't know, how did golf impact you as a pitcher?
So for me, I kept my priorities in order when it came to my profession. Obviously, the baseball was going to be the number one priority, and then Bobby knew that. That's why he allowed us to do what we needed to do to make away from the game a little more enjoyable. You pitch once every 5 days, but people don't realize how the game can consume you, right? Whether you had a good game or bad game, the workouts in between, the time in between can either cause you to get stale, get burned out. So we play golf. I play golf every day on the road except for the days that I pitch. I didn't play as much at home with the kids, but I would go home after a game, probably one of the few people that could go to bed right after the game, get up at 7, tee off at 7:30, 8 o'clock, play a round of golf, come back to either the hotel or the park, have lunch, play cards, and then hit reset. You know, do that every day. It just energized me. I never had to take any supplements. I never had to take anything that would give me an energy boost. That was my energy boost. And people used to look at me and go, how can you do this? Why are you so ready to go? And I said, well, simple. My life is revolved around the activities of my sport, and then I don't do anything else. Like, I'm not going to museums. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not staying up till 2-3 in the morning. I'm basically ready to go the next morning, and I'm exercising. It's not a strenuous sport. I'm in a cart 90% of the time, and I probably only hit, you know, when you think about it, you're putting 30 to 34 times. You're hitting maybe 10 to 14 drivers. The rest of your majority of your shots are from 100 yards in. So that simple approach extended my career, Glavin's career, and Maddox's career. We all talked about it after we were done. Don't know if we'd have played as long if it weren't for those times we had away from the game that didn't just swallow us up because of the, you know, the intensity of which our sport created for us all.
You know, it makes so much sense when you lay it out like that, John, but of course you hit it straight and you don't three putt. I could see where it adds years to your life, but you can imagine where it takes years off the rest of our lives, right?
I understand that if, you know, and I get it from an organizational standpoint, if you're a traditional hack or you have a chance to hurt yourself, then that wouldn't be a byproduct of extending your career. I agree. But everybody we played with during our rotation, we either taught how to play golf or mandated they needed to play golf a little bit just to get out, and it created, think about the time in the taxi cabs, the rental cars, the golf carts. On the golf course, we talked about not every hitter, but we talked about baseball. We talked about the subtleties. Our personalities worked to where we wouldn't let each outing or match affect us. And we just had we got a separator. You know, we did what we had to do on the field. We got a first-rate seat to see greatness. And then we enjoyed each other off the field. And what really became the most valuable time of our careers.
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of a hypocrite, John, because I've joined a number of clubs, and I'm really embarrassed to say this, that I no longer belong to, because I thought that I would get to it, and then I never did actually get to it. But my thinking was that it was almost as much about the quality of the time and the quality of the experience. Like, golf is something that, it's not just in and of itself. Like, in and of itself, it's an amazing thing. But above and beyond that, it could be so good for business. It could be so good socially.
Yep.
Like, where else can you get 3 or 4 hours with a decision maker or somebody who's important to you? How much of it is about that for you?
No doubt. Look, if we could sit at a restaurant, the three of us, and we would talk and somebody would inevitably interrupt us, right? There's always a quantity of time that people wanted from us, generally good because they were excited to meet or get an autograph. On the golf course, nobody runs up to you. Nobody is interrupting your time. You basically have that time to discuss whatever topic, business, you know, is going on, and it's a place of kind of like serenity where you just at your place of relaxation. We all kind of made it an opportunity to not get mechanical, not consume ourselves with the mechanics of a swing, because mechanics of baseball were too important. You didn't want to get critical of those things. You just kind of took it what it was, and we all progressed in our game eventually. And again, we could talk about the ultimate days off. We can talk about some of the trips we took. That all adds energy that when you go to the ballpark the next day, you're not run down, you're not tired, you're kind of like, when's the next one going to be? Or what are we going to do tomorrow? And I told our guys, I said, listen, I'm the golf concierge. I get the rental cars, the tee times, I set everything up. You have one job. Decide before you go to bed if you're going to make it or not. And if not, you're paying a fine. Because you can't go to bed deciding you're going to make it and then not show up. And guys got really good at determining what they wanted to do or what activity was most important to them. And, you know, they knew we were playing a top 100 course. We played about 73 of the top 100 courses in the U.S. just in the baseball cities over a course of 10 to 12 years. That's pretty cool.
It's amazing. I'm trying so hard to talk baseball, but this is so good. You know, John, that point that you were the concierge, every group needs one. Every group has to have that guy, and not everybody wants to get on the phone and make that call. Not everybody wants to set that thing up. Is that something you enjoyed doing, or did you understand that if we're going to play, somebody's got to do it, so it may as well be me?
Exactly. And I had more of the personality to kind of talk to the pros and members. You meet that one member that knows 14 members. Like, you meet the one guy, which I did, and they've been friends I've been friends with people now through golf forever. And there's not a lot of bad people you meet in fishing or golf. Those are the two kind of rules that I learned by. And I think to make things happen, you know, I took control over it and I made it happen. Back before we had computers, I had this notebook, and it was you know, had all the information in there from every city to every golf course member, pro. You call up, you do the thing, you ask the rules, you set it up. And I don't think until after certain guys left, guys really appreciated what I was able to do. And Maddox to this day, you know, talks about all the fun he had and the opportunity. I still get calls from current players. Hey, you got anything in, you know, Pittsburgh? You got anything in the... I still have my list, and now it's all on the digital. And, you know, it was interesting. I carried a briefcase for one sole purpose my whole career, was to carry that notebook. And if I ever lost that notebook or that briefcase, you would have sworn I lost my fastball slider and slit. I was devastated, so I always had it by me.
Dude, back it up. You got to pack that stuff up. All right, John, so when you talk about the importance of you get to defend something, I'm curious, who are the celebs in the field who concern you the most, or do you have the approach that they got to deal with you, you're not dealing with them? How are you approaching that defense?
No, you know, it's interesting. I know who's better than me, and that's what drives me. I mean, Mark Mulder and Marty Fish, they're better than me. I mean, guys like Marcus Allen and Ray Allen has come on so fast. He hits the ball so far. Guys like, there are probably 7 to 10 people who hit it 30 or 40 by me off the tee. And what I've learned to do is that in a 4-day tournament, that equals out, right? I mean, in a 2-day tournament, I probably wouldn't have as much of a chance. But then they threw in Annika Sorenstam, who's playing this year, who I love playing with, who's going to make it even more special on the celebrity side. Each year, the list grows of players who have a chance to win. 5, 6, 7 years ago, might have been a handful of people, and the same two people were winning all the tournaments, like Marty and Mulder were winning either Diamond prior to the LPGA joining and Tahoe. And Marty, of course, is coming off a course record last year at Tahoe, a 10-under. So it just shows you how much power and, you know, game he has. But I kind of told my daughter this, tongue-in-cheek, but my grandson's 2.5 years old. And I said to my daughter, Rachel, I said, he only knows me as champ. So I got to continue to, you know, I got to defend. He didn't even know I played baseball. So
that's great.
Golf has become my new passion, to where three-peat sounds really good. And, you know, walking into a 4-day tournament, which is no joke, by the way, 3 days is most of the tournaments we play, but this 4-day tournament is a grind, and it's the tortoise and the hare. I really believe that has been my mindset when I teed up the first round, is to just know that there's plenty of time, do your thing, and see what happens on the fourth round.
He is the 2-time defending champ in the celebrity division of the Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions. He is John Smoltz. John, how about one baseball question on the way out the door? You know what it's like to be a team that came so close to winning and then to finally break through. How significant was it for the Dodgers to finally win a World Series after years of coming so close, and what do you expect from them in 2021?
Yeah, last year was the incredibly most difficult, added on top of already, you know, the pressure they had. I said last year would be the hardest, no matter who won, would be the hardest championship to win. And the reason that would be the hardest championship to win, I know people are going to say it was only 60 games. There were more hoops, more things to go through. Personalities didn't work well with the COVID rules and all the pandemic. You know, I'm only talking about sports. I'm not talking about life. Life was way harder for people. I'm talking about the sport of baseball and what they had to do differently than what you were. Creatures of habit. And I can just safely say that if I was playing today, my ability to be successful would have been hampered, because it's not in my DNA. I like being around people. I like, you know, being close to guys and doing the things in the clubhouse that you couldn't do this year. To have all the restrictions that these players had to adhere to and to come out on top like the Dodgers did is incredible. Not to mention, that's not even talking about the stress they had before this year started with the pressure of what they hadn't done in the last 30 years. So, look, I tip my hat to them because of these kind of rule changes and really all the things they had to do. They checked the box. They should have lost to the Los Angeles Dodgers, but the year we won, we probably should have lost to the Colorado Rockies. There's always that moment. You know, the Dodgers should have lost to the Braves, but there's always that moment where the teams kind of, when they come back, they check that, like, okay, now we got it, because they did not play their best in that series, and they were a moment away from, you know, having the same narrative continue. So this year, this past year, when I watched what teams had to do, it's a credit to all individual players who are able to get through the season, because it was not easy.
Agreed. John Smoltz joining us, World Series champion, member of the Baseball Hall of Fame, and he's got a big event on January 21st through the 24th, a four-day event that he's got to defend. John, that's a great conversation. I appreciate you. I appreciate getting caught up. Take care of yourself. Stay safe. I know you got a big one coming up, and it's always going to run you down, John.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That was great, John. Enjoyed that. Not as much as golf guy enjoyed that. That was fun. Talking some golf. Talking a lot of golf with John Smoltz. And I've always been fascinated. I'm glad that we had a chance to reset what the sport meant to him when he played the game, and why that made him a better pitcher, why that made him a more effective pitcher, and why that made the guys in the rotation more effective as well.